Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I am not a 6'5" man with a strong Southern accent. Instead, I'm a shade under 6'2". Accent, not sure exactly what you would qualify it as, but it is Dan Matthews, executive producer of the show, in for Chuck. No worries about Chuck, just one. You know, it's funny because I had said last time the days off were over, but, you know, after media days, because the 4 days there in Hoover, the 2 days for me in Charlotte, don't get me wrong, this is not a complaint, far from it. Just they're long days. And look, even the best jobs have long days in terms of hours, not long, like long days in terms of, oh man, this sucks, let me get through this. No, absolutely not. We love every minute and second of what we do here in our jobs. But it also, too, if there is an opportunity before fall camp gets going, which next week for most schools is going to happen. I believe the week zero schools have started this week or will this weekend, regardless. Is football season is getting going, but there was kind of like one last respite if you wanted it. That if you wanted to take that one last vacation, go for it. Go do it. Go have some fun. So Chuck just taking the day. Expect him back on Monday, and we will get going from there. Jam-packed show for you until we get into the meat and potatoes for it today. Obviously, a lot has happened over the last 24 hours when it comes to Texas and OU coming to the SEC. We will slice and dice into that. But coming up next here on the show to talk about that, it's going to be Greg Tepper from Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Bottom of this hour, going to be talking with a man who made some news of his own for his own little venture of now selling it off for control to somebody else. Going to be a part of it, of course, but somebody we really rely on when it comes to the Kentucky Wildcats. That is Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio. He is going to join us in the bottom of hour one. Hour two, it seems like this guy always joins me when Chuck is out. I wonder if that's the key now for me hosting the show. If I schedule in the top of hour two, Jake Crane of the J-Boy Show to come on, then that means that Chuck's not going to be here the next day. Because a little behind the curtain here, I mostly schedule people the day before. Because, you know, hey, we all want notice, don't we? I mean, sometimes it is day of that I have to, hey, this happened, can you join us? And a lot of times we've got great rapport with people. Yeah, sure, I'll join you. But mostly you want to make sure, especially when you get into football season and you get into the routine of everything, and especially if there's breaking news or something of the sort, you want to be able to get a jump on it and then say, hey, if this happens tomorrow, can you join us? And so Jake's going to join us. And then Sam Kahn Jr., assuming that everything, because Texas has already made their decision, and I believe Oklahoma going to be shortly following as well. So we will talk all of that with Sam Kahn Jr. of The Athletic. But here's what I wanted to start today. Is I saw the story on ESPN.com where, of course, now the big thing that people are trying to hurl at Greg Sankey and the SEC is, oh, your selfish self-interests have now put college football playoff expansion on the back burner. And, of course, Sankey saying, no, that's not the case at all. As a matter of fact, we're still on the working group. We're still trying to work towards that. We're still trying to make sure that it happens. And it is kind of an early headline. As you know, we do headlines in the top of hour number two. But headline here, Heather Dinich, ESPN.com. SEC's Greg Sankey expects no issues with Big 12's Bob Bowlsby on playoff committee. Now, this is what Sankey told ESPN yesterday, and this was, of course, yesterday when the SEC decided to extend the invites. The SEC presidents all sitting down and saying, yep, we want Texas, we want OU, which I'll let you in on a little secret here. If you see the money, you can see why they unanimously said that they were coming over, or at least going to allow them to come over. And it really just led me to the point that I'm going to get into after I read you a quick quote from Sankey. And he says, quote, looking back the history of the ability of people to work through challenging circumstances in 2010, there was movement. 2011, dating back to the movement around the Big East and the ACC, there were moments, but we all have a responsibility. I do think there's a level of respect that's present and will remain going forward. There are tough times, but those who have been in leadership positions have always been able to work through those elements of our relationships and of our work. So I will say that with everything that has happened to this point, and I know that there's the legal ramifications and Bob Bowlsby throwing that out with collusion with ESPN and with the American and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to just lay this out and simply start it by saying, if Bowlsby's big mad, that's on him. Because there are many different circumstances that have led to this position that it's kind of like a breakup. In any breakup, whether it's a romantic relationship, whether it's a working relationship, whatever it is, the means to the end was always a road that was paved really by both sides. But there is somebody who really led to the breakup happening. And that is one of those that if there is, say, a romantic variety here, that somebody in the relationship just wasn't pulling their weight. And the other partner in the relationship just said, you know what? I've had enough. I want to find my happiness in life. I'm going to do it, and it's not going to be with you. And that's what Texas and OU did. Because the numbers will tell you exactly why they did what they did. For 2020, the fiscal year, according to USA Today, the Big Ten bringing in $768.9 million. The SEC kind of showing you why they're asking Texas and Oklahoma to join their conference. About $40 million behind them, $728.9. The Pac-12 way beneath both of them. But they're third, $533.8 million. ACC, $496.7 million. And then the Big 12 there with no network, no real other money-making opportunity for them to be able to try to close that gap. They are at 4.9.2. So here it is, no network. And you've kowtowed to the powers that be in your conference, Texas and OU. We found that out earlier in the week. There was the report that they tried to come back over the weekend last week and say, hey, we'll give you 1.5 shares, and we're going to take from everybody else, but we're going to give that to you. And Texas and OU said, yeah, that's cute. Even with that, you're not even going to get anywhere close to what we're going to get from those guys in Birmingham and the rest of the people who are making a lot of money in the southeastern part of the country. Yeah, I think we like what they're doing more than what you can offer us. So that was bad enough. But I think the troubles for Bowlsby really started back in 2014, where at the time they could not have a conference championship game. And because they couldn't have a conference championship game, you could make the argument that both Baylor and TCU, that was a chief reason why they were left out. And Big Ten champion Ohio State was able to make the college football playoff and eventually win it. But of course, remember how everybody was just all up in arms. I can't believe this. How are you going to put Ohio State in? I forget who they lost to that year, but they had one of their terrible losses. David, our engineer, knows.
It was Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech was ranked 24th at the time. It was under JT Barrett's rookie mistake.
Okay.
I think he fumbled the ball.
So it was Virginia Tech that year. Okay, I get it. So that kind of was on par with Urban Meyer's like one fumble a season that he seemingly had at Ohio State, and that was one of them. And they still won the Big Ten, and they got into the college football playoff, like I said, upset Alabama, and then beat Oregon to win it all. But still, you were left out of that game because you didn't have a conference championship game. Again, that's on you. Because when all of the expansion stuff was happening back at that time, how were you not trying to expand even more than adding West Virginia into your conference?
to be able to try to offset the losses of Texas A&M and of Colorado. I'm trying to think if they added anybody. It doesn't matter because they didn't do enough is my point. Because it's now becoming an issue for you, and we're going to get into this a little bit later on with another conference who is already being proactive, and I appreciate that about them. But that was bad enough. Here's where it continues for Bob Bowlsby, because Ross Dellinger putting out a tweet last night that really just says it all. Top 17 highest athletic budgets in college sports, 11 of them will belong to the SEC. This is including now, of course, Texas and Oklahoma. This is for 2019. Texas, by USA Today's numbers, $223 million. Over that number, as a matter of fact, but around there. Oklahoma, over $163 million. No one else from the Big 12. And Bob Bowlsby, when it comes to all of this, you got fat and happy. And you started to get lazy in this relationship. And guess what? Now your partners are leaving you. And again, that's your problem. It's not anybody else's. Greg Tepper, Dave Campbell's Texas Football, going to join us next to break this down and a lot more from the Lone Star State. That's right here at Chuck Oliver's show. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck right here.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday. Dan Matthews in for Chuck. And quick mea culpa to my next guest, Greg Tepper. As I shoot him a note, like I said last night, and say, hey, can you join us at said time? I'm a few minutes late than that. So, Greg, I hope you accept my apology. I had to do a tactical takedown of Bob Bowlsby, which I think is pretty warranted. And that's where we start today. So I apologize.
That's a good use of time. I'll just say that, you know, if you were just you know, there talking about, I don't know, like the last night's Washington Nationals game, I might have a problem. But that taking down Bob Bowlsby, that feels warranted.
Yeah. So Greg Tepper again joining us from Dave Campbell's at Texas Football, and there were a lot of reasons to feel for Texas and OU deciding to make the decisions that they did. Let's just start from the recruiting angle of all of this, because I think that this does play a part of it. Of last week in Texas, Nick Saban speaking to the Texas High School Coaches Association. And we all know how well Nick Saban has done in that state. Four out of the top 20 players from 2021 going to Alabama, according to 24/7 Sports. Do you think that a big part of that also had to deal with Texas and OU saying, yeah, that can't happen here?
Oh, I think that's a huge part of it. I think that it's at least one big part of it. Obviously, money is another part of it. But I'll tell you that I think that the football program probably looked around. And Texas and Oklahoma are not having trouble recruiting. Let's be clear about this. They're still recruiting at a very high level. But, you know, let's be honest, that there is this upper tier of recruiting, this elite tier of recruiting that Texas and Oklahoma, as good as they've recruited, have not been able to crack. And I think that, you know, part of it is that, you know, they haven't won a national championship. Obviously, that helps. Part of it for Texas, they just haven't been awfully good recently in the past decade. But they still recruit a high high level. I think that there's certainly part of the decision that goes into it of saying, you know what, we can get that SEC boost. And no mistake, I think that they're looking at what's happening down in College Station and the boost that they've had on the recruiting trail, in large part because of Jimbo Fisher, in large part because of the SEC, a lot of different factors, and in large part because they've won. So I think that's certainly one of the big aspects and one of the big factors going into Texas and Oklahoma's decision to go to the SEC. Not the only one, but certainly was on the table when these discussions were happening.
How quickly do you think that Steve Sarkisian can get off to a strong start there on that front, and that can translate to wins?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, if you take a look at how he's recruited so far, he's done a pretty good job. You know, he's gone and I think the message is resonating with recruits across the state of Texas, and that's going to translate eventually. Now, look, it's going to take a minute because he's going to, you know, as good as some of the players that he's going to inherit are, you know, it's a new system, it's a new coaching staff, and it's going to take some time. So, you know, look, I think that Texas is probably going to be maybe a little bit more patient with Sarkisian than they were with Tom Herman, simply because of the transition that's now going to be going to the SEC and things like that. But, you know, look, at Texas, you got to win. You know, you saw what happened to Charlie Strong. You saw what happened to Tom Herman. You've seen what happened to these coaches. If you don't win at Texas, you're going to be out the door. So I think it's critical that he gets off on a good foot. You know, I think that they've got a very, very dangerous non-conference with Louisiana has red flags all over it for me. And, you know, if you go out there and lose that game, suddenly, you know, there's going to be some turf, even after one game. I think that's one thing to keep an eye on. I think it's really important for him to get off to a good start and tell people in the Texas fan base that this is going to be different.
Greg Tepper, Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, which those of you know when it comes to this magazine in the state of Texas. And if you don't, you ever swing through the Lone Star State, pick you up a copy because it is absolutely the must for a football fan. Let's go over, Greg, to Jimbo Fisher. What's needed for him in order for all of the hype and everything to be met in this season to be considered a success?
Yeah, I think that right now the buzz around Texas A&M is palpable. That's why they're on the cover of our magazine. The defense, I think, has a chance to be really good. There are basically three big hurdles to me that are going to have to clear in order to achieve, you know, to make the playoff, which I think this is a playoff or bust type year for Texas A&M. The first one is they got to find a quarterback. They're replacing Kellen Mond. They've got a couple of guys they really feel good about. I think the starter is probably going to be Haynes King, a kid from East Texas. A coach's kid who is a big-time prospect coming out of there, led Longview High School to their first title in 81 years, pretty much a legendary out there. He's going to end up being the guy. But, look, the high school ranks to the college ranks is a big leap. That's one question. The second question, I think, is on the offensive line. I believe they're replacing four starters on the offensive line. Now, look, they have done a magnificent job recruiting front. I mean, absolute. I mean, I would put it against pretty much anybody in the nation how much Jimbo Fisher has recruited up front. But new pieces are new pieces. As good as they've been, they've got to, you know, they have to go out there and do it. And the third one that I think they've got to handle is their own hype. I think they've got to handle staying or reading their own press clippings, because there's going to be a lot of buzz around Texas A&M, a lot of buzz going into the Alabama game. Everyone's going to have that game circled because that feels like could be a changing of guard. But as you guys know, there's no off weeks in the SEC. There's no off weeks, and if you stumble and stub your toe against an Auburn or an Arkansas, God forbid, or a Mississippi State, then suddenly you're right at square one, and this season goes up in smoke. And especially with Texas and Oklahoma coming into the league, and that the specter of that,
right.
I think that it's fair to say that this is the most important season in Texas A&M history, in Texas A&M modern history, to get on that good foot and to go out there and achieve those expectations. It's a huge year for the Aggies.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Greg, I wish we had more time. We're up against it at hard out here and leading into the bottom of the hour, but definitely going to have you back soon again. Greg Tepper, Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, joining us here. Greg, thanks so much for your time.
Take care, guys.
I appreciate it. As now we go from Texas to Kentucky, Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio, up next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
As Chuck says, I'm going to steal from the man whose namesake is on this show, Dan Matthews, executive producer, in for Chuck today in that role. Chuck, probably going to be back on Monday, but as he says, you always love when good things happen to good people. And this next man who's going to be joining us definitely falls into that category. From Kentucky Sports Radio, he is Matt Jones. Matt Jones, good things happening for you guys over at KSR. Can you fill in the audience on it?
Yeah, I mean, for folks that don't know, there's a new sort of network of college sports sites beginning called On3 Sports, started by Shannon Terry, who started Rivals and 24/7. Most of the people listening that ever go to a college website or message board or have been to either our Rivals or 24/7 site. And the guy that started it is starting On3 Sports, which is going to be even better than Rivals and 24/7. And we were the very first site that he acquired. So we're going to be a part of that team. And it was a difficult decision. I mean, I ran KSR independently for 16 years. But we're very excited to be a part of On3 Sports, and I think a lot of people listening, some of the sites that you like the most will be part of On3 Sports here pretty soon. So it's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like not much changes for you, I mean, in terms of just partnering up with Shannon and On3, but does anything necessarily change for you guys over at KSR?
Well, I mean, they bought the biggest change is they bought us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm still going to be a part of the site, but I just don't own it anymore. But it was the right decision, and it's going to be, I think it's going to be great for fans. And in Kentucky, everybody, I mean, all of our writers are remaining. It won't change what the fans have. But for me, it changes my day-to-day world. I mean, for 16 years, I stressed out about that website nearly every day. And now, I mean, I can just smile because it's a lot easier, and I just have to – I'm an employee now, which is an easier way to go.
The fruits of the labor for Matt Jones and Kentucky Sports Radio. Matt, let's get into this Kentucky football team for 2021. As along with the announcement that you guys made yesterday, wanted to get into that a little bit. And Dare Rosenthal, obviously, is a huge name, not only from name but also from stature added to this offensive line that was already in pretty good shape. So with Darian Kinard back, where does he fit in on that starting five?
Well, I think Darian Kinard is going to start on at left tackle probably, and then you'll probably have Dare Rosenthal start at right tackle. I mean, you know, I know for most of your listeners, it's easy to sort of think of Kentucky football as an afterthought, but I would like people to sort of take a step back and kind of think about what Kentucky's done. I mean, they went 10-3 3 years ago. The year after, they lost all of their quarterbacks and started a wide receiver, Lynn Bowden, at quarterback. Ended up going 7-5 and then winning the bowl game to finish 8-5 over Virginia Tech. And then last year, the 10 SEC games kind of got them. They went 4-6, but they still ended up in the Gator Bowl, and they won that. So, and in terms of pro players, Kentucky has produced, I want to say, the fourth most of any SEC school in the last 3 years behind Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. And I just don't think people realize it. And now you look at this year's team, you know, the question's going to be quarterback. Over these last 3 years, Kentucky's been really good and not necessarily had a great quarterback. They got a chance to have a good one this year, but they have probably – I was doing this on my show the other day. I think they probably have 7 or 8 NFL draft picks on the team. And for Kentucky, that's a lot. And they may have 2 first-round offensive linemen, which I am almost certain Kentucky's never had 2 in 1 year. So it is a big time. I mean, Kentucky probably had the best offensive line in the conference last year. It was either best or second best. And they got a chance to have the best or second best one this year. And at a school like Kentucky, where over the years they've had skill position players, but the thing Mark Stoops has done is Kentucky can compete with the big uglies up front. And it's actually the skill positions, specifically quarterback, wide receiver, they've struggled at. So it's really a different era for UK football.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be a nice luxury to have if you're Mark Stoops and also Liam Cohen with Kennard and also with Dare Rosenthal now being added into an already good offensive line. That's not a bad problem to have, as they say. You touched on a little bit. Let's get right into the part that you touched on. That's quarterback. Who's got the inside track for that spot?
Well, I still think the most likely quarterback is the Penn State transfer, Will Levis. I think, you know, Liam Cohen, when he got hired, he brought Will Levis in within a few days, and I think it's because he knows him. They're from the same area, and I think it's who he feels most comfortable with. But with that said, people around the program tell me don't sell out, you know, don't cut short Joey Gatewood. The Auburn transfer was here last year. Didn't really have a great year, both in practice, and he got to play in a couple games, and it wasn't great. But I think this offense Liam Cohen's running is a lot more sort of akin to Gatewood's skill sets, and I think you're going to see a battle. My guess is over the course of the season, both those guys play. I think Will Levis, though, will get the first shot, and we'll see how he does.
Yeah, and Liam Cohen, you know, somebody that with this Kentucky offense, you know, I've talked about it on the show. Matt, by the way, Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio, joining us here. Dan Matthews in for Chuck. And that is that the offense has been something that it's kind of like a Kentucky. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong here. It's been, all right, hey, what's next? Like, what's next? Kind of like what we see at Georgia is the same at Kentucky. The defensive side of the ball has not been as much. But the true expectation for Liam Cohen this year, like, what do Wildcat fans want to see to say, wow, that's awesome. That's the brand of football we need to see.
Well, they want to see a more exciting offense. I mean, you know, it's sort of the curse of UK football that for the last 20 years, at various times, they've had really good offenses. I mean, they had Tim Couch, they had Jared Lorenzen, they had Andre Woodson, they had some quarterbacks that could go, they had running backs like Benny Snell, they had wide receivers like Randall Cobb, they had some good players. But they never had the defense or the lines to compete. Well, now they have the defense, and now they have the lines, and their offense, they've had great running backs. They've really been able to run the ball, but they just have not been able to throw. They have not thrown in the four years that they've had winning records and gone to won bowl games, their offenses have been pretty anemic, honestly. So I think they were just ready for a change. And even though Eddie Grand won here a lot, I think they just want an offense that can move the ball, and that's what Liam Cohen's going to do. I would say if you want to know what Liam Cohen wants to do, just look at what the LA Rams did the last couple years. He's a Sean McVay disciple. McVay says he was a key part of coming up with their offensive schemes, especially working with the quarterbacks. So I think you're going to see, you know, touches of that. I think he wants to play two tight ends but throw the ball. We'll see how much they're able to do that. But I think you're going to see a Kentucky team that has been ground and pound for the last few years starting to air it out a little bit. Now, the question is, do they have the receivers? That's why they got a huge transfer. Let me just say, I don't think people realize Kentucky kind of owns the transfer market this year. Dare Rosenthal from LSU, Wandale Robinson, probably Nebraska's best player, transferred wide receiver, and Jaquez Jones from Ole Miss, a linebacker. They got all three of those guys. All three of them are going to start, and that doesn't even count Will Levis, who might be their quarterback from Penn State. So they did a heck of a job on the first year of the transfer portal.
Oh, a heck of a job has absolutely been the way to describe what Mark Stoops has been able to do there these last few years, and now just trying to take Kentucky to the next level. Again, Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio, joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Losing the leading tackler from last year on defense, who can step into that role?
Well, I mean, they're not going to – Jamin Davis, you know, was a 14th pick, 13th pick in the draft. You're not going to just replace that. They got a lot of guys that I think will be good. Josh Pascal, I think, is probably the main guy. He'll be their edge rusher. Marquand McCall is on the defensive tackle. You got linebackers like Jaquez Jones and DeAndre Square. And you got a secondary of five or six guys who all might end up playing in the NFL. Mark Stoops has done an amazing job producing NFL members of the secondary. So their defense is going to be solid. Last year, Jamin Davis was just a dominant figure. They don't really have anyone like that. But if I had come on your show last year, and I probably did, we didn't think Jamin Davis was good. I mean, he came out of nowhere. So I don't really know that there'll be a star like that, but I think they'll be very solid. Here's the key question for Kentucky. Kentucky has a very favorable schedule. You could look at that schedule and say, you know what? They'll be favored in 9 of their 12 games, which I'm not sure that's ever happened at Kentucky. The question, though, is can they get some playmakers at receiver, and is the quarterback going to be good? If those two things happen, they have a schedule where I know this will sound crazy to people. There's only one game on their schedule I don't think they can win, at Georgia. But they play Florida and LSU at home, and while I don't think they're favorites in those games, there's no reason they can't win them. And then the rest of their schedule's pretty easy. Tennessee stinks, South Carolina stinks, Vandy stinks. The Missouri game, the second game of the year, is the big one for Kentucky. I think those teams are fairly equivalent. Missouri won last year, but this time they got to come to Lexington. For me, that's the game that will decide how Kentucky's season goes.
Yeah, and that's actually where I was going to go to end with you, but I guess we could just go into that one right now, and that is the ceiling for this team in 2021. I got to believe that you're feeling like in November they've got every opportunity to be at least be in the conversation for the SEC East, right?
Well, I don't know, because they play Georgia on the road, and beating Georgia is difficult, but Georgia plays Alabama this year. So, I mean, they'll probably lose that game, so that gives you an opportunity, even if you were to lose that game in Athens. I think the key is Kentucky's going to be good. The question about whether or not they can actually compete will come down to, do they beat Missouri, and do they steal one of those Florida-LSU games? If they do, then I think they've got a shot. Those games are all to start the season. Let's see if they pull them off, and then in mid-October we can talk about their chance.
Sounds like an exciting season ahead for the Kentucky Wildcats, and we always enjoy talking the Cats with Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio. Matt, congratulations on the great partnership with Shannon Terry. You laid it out for us, too, with Shannon Terry. I mean, rivals, 24-7. It's not like this guy doesn't put together things and then they don't succeed. So I would say that you guys are on good footing there at On Three, and looking forward to the work that you guys do.
Yeah, it's very rare that I call people smart, because I have such an inflated sense of self that I don't like to say anyone's smart but me. But Shannon Terry is very smart. He's as smart as they come, and most of the way that we follow college sports online, he sort of created, and I think people are going to be really impressed when they see what he's able to do in the coming months.
Oh, you're 100% right. I mean, maybe eventually, but now, like, we wouldn't have had any concept of this without him. So, no, that's definitely following into the category, like you said, of people being very smart. Matt Jones, again, thank you so much for your time. Look forward to catching up with you again very soon as we get closer to this season.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Matt Jones again joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. And yeah, look, I mean, that is one of those things that rivals, I mean, they were the OGs. They were the ones that started this recruiting rankings. And then 24/7 came along, and people at first, oh, 24/7 sports, what is that? Oh, it's the guy that created Rivals. He just had to sit down for a little bit, and now he's back, and now that's what this thing is doing. On Three, you see what they're doing in partnering with Matt Jones. I know that Ohio State Letterman Rowe, that they have partnered up now with On Three. That broke earlier today, but Chad Simmons is over there. I mean, a guy that we've had on this show, and you know when it comes to recruiting, Chad Simmons is one of the names that you follow and you trust when it comes to what he brings. Ivan Mazel as well. The names just go on and on. Shannon Terry, yeah, he knows what he's doing over there, and I think that On Three definitely going to follow the success that we've seen from Rivals and from 24/7 Sports. All right, coming up next, one conference seems like they are on their deathbed, at least if not close to it. Another one is trying to avoid even going into the infirmary for their own league. And I'll explain. As a matter of fact, I'll let you hear from the man who is trying to prevent it from happening. That's next right here. It is the Chuck Oliver Show. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck right here on a Friday. This is the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats.
Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
The Big 12 is certainly in the most trouble because they're losing their two most important breadwinners, but that doesn't diminish the, you know, the ACC and the Pac-12 are also in a bad spot. I mean, the Big 12 was third in revenue of the Power Five. The Pac-12 is fifth. You know, ACC is locked into a deal until 2036.
Follow the money. I mean, that's the way it goes. It's always just that simple when it comes to college athletics. And I always love that, too. Like, why do certain things surprise people? I really just don't understand it. Of how, this is greedy. This is all this. It's business. And the whole point of business is to make money. It's not to make you feel good about yourself or to make anybody else feel all warm and fuzzy all the time. Guess what? When it comes to business and it comes to money, there are going to be hurt feelings. And, okay, you can say that the SEC is greedy. Who cares? It doesn't matter because they're a business when it comes down to it. So I just really just the people who continuously try to, that's not right, all this, I'm going to stop watching. Okay, well, fine, stop watching because there's going to be plenty of people who will keep watching. And for what Ari Temkin just said right there, which, by the way, Ari Temkin joined us yesterday when Chuck was here on the Chuck Oliver Show. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck today, as we expect him back on Monday. But exactly what he just said, for the other leagues, it's kind of, you need to worry about what's happening right now because there are some leagues who have woefully underperformed. Remember in the first segment I talked about before we were joined by Greg Tepper, the numbers breakdown, the fiscal year of 2020, according to USA Today, the Big Ten bringing in $768.9 million. Okay, good for them. The SEC probably saw that and said, yeah, hey, those two schools, because I truly believe that it wasn't the SEC looking out and saying, hey, can these guys join us? But I think that probably their interest was piqued when it was nudging them a little bit. Those of you on Twitch just saw me nudge someone, or at least a fictitious someone, but nudging someone and saying, hey, Texas and OU, they're not happy over there. They want to join. Ooh, they do? Okay, well, tell them, you know, yeah, sure, we'll listen, you know, see what they have to say, and then we'll go from there. And then, of course, when they said, yeah, hey, we're really serious about this, okay, well, let's handle what we need to handle, you handle what you need to handle, and then pow, there we go. We're going to invite you into our league, and we're going to become a league of 16, which for right now they say is 2025. We'll see if that holds on. But like I said, the Big Ten, the Pac-12 in the middle there, but falling at 533.8 behind the SEC and Big Ten. And we played this yesterday, but I wanted to let you hear it again because George Kliavkov was brought in to the Pac-12 for one, actually two specific reasons. Number one, make them viable in football because, as I told you, Jim Phillips of the ACC saying last week, that football needs to be a priority and football is a priority and our league needs to get better. That's George Kliavkov because the day after he was hired, I played this cut on the air where it was Stanford head coach David Shaw saying, this league just needs to improve. Like, we can't be what we are right now. Like, from a support angle, from the money, everything that goes in, we need to be able to raise our game to compete with what they're doing in Tuscaloosa and in Gainesville and in Athens and in Baton Rouge and any of these major programs, Clemson. I mean, my God, Clemson is coming into Southern California and getting DJ Uiagalelei and a handful of other players to go across the country to play for them. Those guys need to be staying here and playing for us, is what David Shaw is saying. And Kliavkov earlier this week at Pac-12 Media Days with SiriusXM talking about expansion and saying, yeah, we've got to be open-minded here.
As there's realignment going on in the East, I actually think it strengthens our position at the Pac-12. We're the only Power 5 conference that has teams in the Mountain and Pacific time zone, basically own half of the country. I think we have to lean into that as opposed to using that as an excuse, the time zone issue. I actually love where we are today with 12 teams, but we're going to actively be looking at expansion.
Actively looking at expansion. And I think that those conversations are already happening. As a matter of fact, it's not going to surprise me if maybe they slow down a little bit as we get closer to the season. But it's also, though, too, the presidents, chancellors, and athletic directors, it doesn't have any bearing on what happens during fall camp. They'll continue. But yes, they absolutely need to be looking right now. And I think that Kliavkov needs to look at the leagues that are out there and the possible poachables. I just made up a word there, but the possible ones that you can go out and get and start looking at the way that the Big Ten also looked at it is their network was a success from the beginning. The Big Ten network able to get going and able to shuffle out money to their members and at a high rate like they have, because like we talked about the Big Ten, but it's also to factor in what the Big Ten has. Chicago with Northwestern, Milwaukee with Wisconsin, although Madison is a pretty decent sized city. Columbus is a pretty decent sized city. Michigan and Michigan State, you got Detroit. I mean, they even pointed out to you for the Big Ten in their commercials for going around the country to show the footprint that they have of showing Chicago and then showing Washington, D.C. with Maryland as well. And then Rutgers pretty much saying, hey, New York City, Rutgers, we've got that too. They've got major markets. Penn State, really, you could say is the entire state of Pennsylvania, but I'll probably say, because I think they're closer to Philadelphia, I'd say that probably Philadelphia for Penn State.
Yeah, I think they're actually maybe in between Philly and Pittsburgh.
They're pretty much right in the middle, yeah. But my point is that you've still got major markets that they appeal to there. So that's what the Big Ten has. And the Pac-12 has that ability too. Los Angeles, a major city. San Francisco, a major city. Seattle, a major city. Phoenix, a major city. Continue it now if you're out there, because as the Big 12 continues to fold, which right now, all of these programs need to be looking to everybody else, and anybody who is remotely coming to them with an opportunity needs to say, oh, yeah, absolutely. And that needs to be George Kliavkov going to a TCU in Fort Worth, Dallas-Fort Worth. You get that market. Now, are you going to get what you would have with Texas and Texas A&M? No, you're not going to have that. But still, you get a major market in the state of Texas, which, if I'm not mistaken, I believe is in front of the Houston market in terms of media rankings. And in Houston as well, I think you go to University of Houston. They've got a really good backing with Tillman Fertitta. And they also, too, have a very strong basketball program that, as long as Kelvin Sampson is there, is only going to continue. And they do recruit pretty well for being a Group of Five program. I think Oklahoma State is definitely somebody, and I think that BYU is somebody you need to look at as well. So the roadmap is there for the Pac-12 to be able to strengthen themselves and make themselves a viable conference. And when it comes to the money and the dollars and cents, you need to make it happen.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.